I don't think that there's anyone who is a mechanech or who's in a position of being able to be mashpia, being able to influence someone else, who doesn't get scared when we read this week's parsha. I think this week's parsha is one of the most scaring parshas in the Torah for anybody who is in a situation of being a mashpia. This week's parsha, in the main, after the halachas of Bikurim, of the first fruits, this week's parsha talks about the brachas and the klolos that were given to Klal Yisrael, and the teichacha, the outcome of the klolos, the brachas which are given to Klal Yisrael if they are shei material mitzvahs, and the klolos which were given to Klal Yisrael if they're not shei material mitzvahs. And the outcome, the very practical, detailed description of the Holocaust that's going to come about if Klal Yisrael are not shei material mitzvahs, which is a direct result of the list of klolos, the list of curses that are given in this week's parasha. The culminating curse that appears in this week's parasha is Oror. Cursed is the one asher lo yokim es divrei hatera hazeis la'aseiseisom. Cursed is the individual asher lo yokim es divrei hatera hazeis, who won't re-establish. If you look in the English translations, I think they translate it uphold, which is not really a translation, but it's a rendering. The literal translation of yokim is to build again something which fell down. Or cursed is the individual asher lo yokim es divrei haTorah hazeis la'aseisom, who won't rebuild this Torah, that people should observe it, if it fell down. The Ramban on that pasuk quotes a Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi is a Yerushalmi in Seita in Perek Zayin Halacha Dalet. And the Yerushalmi has difficulty with the expression in the pasuk Asher lo yokim. And the Yerushalmi asks, V'chi yesh teira nefeles? Is there a concept of Torah falling down that curses the person who doesn't put it back up again? Says the Yerushalmi that the klola is referring to people who have a position of hashpah. They have the ability to be able to guide and to be able to influence others. Says the Ramban, quoting the Yerushalmi, Shebiyodom, they have the ability Lahokim es hatera, to rebuild the Torah, biyad hamavatlim oiso, for those who are mavatl Torah, people who have the ability to influence somebody who is being mavatl Torah to start observing the Torah. And the Rishalmi continues, and the Rishalmi says the following. Va'afilu hoya hu tzadik gomor b'maisov. Even if an individual was a total, complete tzadik gomor in his personal life, but V'hoyo yochel lahachzik ha-teira b'yad ha-reshoim ha-mevatlim ha-isa. He had the ability to persuade somebody and to influence somebody to observe Torah when the person is not doing it, and he doesn't fulfill his function, and he's not mashpia on the individual. Harei ze oror. That individual is cursed. Which is a very scary thought for anybody who's in a position of any type of influence over anybody else who is not being Mekayim Torah Bishlei Musa. And apropos of that, I want to speak about a particular point tonight. There is a Hasidic dynasty, which is a dynasty of the descendants of Reb Chaim Sanza. And because at a certain point in time, one of the Rebbes of that dynasty lived in a Galician town by the name of Bobov, therefore the Hasidic dynasty is called Bobov. When the previous Bobov Rebbe died, the Chassidus split into two. And half of the Tzibur accepted upon themselves the previous Rebbe's half-brother as Rebbe, and the other half of the Chassidus took upon themselves the previous Rebbe's son-in-law as Rebbe. The previous Rebbe's son-in-law, his name was Moshe David Ungar, until he became Rebbe by appointment of half of the Chassidim, functioned as a Rosh Yeshiva for many, many years in the Yeshiva. And he's a very, very experienced Mechanech. Besides being a Rebbe, which by definition means that you are presumably a holy man, but seeing that I'm not very much of an expert on holiness, I can't vouch or guarantee whether he is a holy man or he isn't a holy man. He certainly is an Eved Hashem, he's certainly a massive Talmud Chacham, and he certainly is a very experienced Mechanech and a very shrewd and acute individual who has a very good understanding of issues. He also is very, very, very well aware of what's going on around him. And he's particularly aware of what's going on in Am Yisrael in general, and he has a very good understanding of today's day and age and today's teenagers and today's problems, etc., etc. And over the last year since he became Rebbe, both Rabbi Lopin and myself became pretty close with him, and we go into him a lot and discuss with him a lot of different things. Very interesting to hear his opinion about a variety of things. 2 years ago, we were sitting in the room in the Beis Medrash where he takes in people. He takes in people in his house. He also takes people in the Beis Medrash. He has a room there where he takes people in. It's a waiting room, and then there's his office where he sits. And we went in to speak to him about a number of topics that we were interested in hearing what his opinion was in reference to the yeshiva. Now, he is totally and fully aware of the yeshiva. He's totally and fully aware of who the types of guys we're learning here in yeshiva. He's totally aware of what we're trying to do. He knows exactly how the thing works, and he's very, very, very with it in terms of understanding what we're doing. And in the course of the conversation that we were having with him, Rabbi Lopin posed to him the following question. He said to him, when you're running a yeshiva like this, what does the Rebbe think is the red line whereby you can say to a guy, if that's where you're at, then forget it, there isn't much hope for you? Every yeshiva has a red line. Now, the red line varies from place to place. So depending on what you're dealing with, that's where your red line is. So you know what the background is, you know what Levari is, you know what it's all about. where would you put the red line? And he looked at us, and he thought for a moment, and then he said something which shocked us out of our minds and totally confused us. Because we had in our minds a certain inkling, or a certain understanding, or a certain assumption of what he was going to say. And he came in out of left field completely and totally and utterly. And he looked at Rabbi Lopin straight in the face and he said, Chilul Shabbos. And then the conversation continued about other things. And the two of us walked out and we stood outside the Beis Medrash. And we looked at each other and we said to each other, did you hear what I just heard? Did you hear what I just heard? Yeah. What was he talking about? Chilul Shabbos? That's the determining factor? If so, let's close down. That's the make or break? I mean, that is the major problem? So we came to the conclusion that maybe he didn't quite understand what we were saying. Maybe we misunderstood him. Maybe he misunderstood us. And we went on to do what we had to do. Chazal say, on this week's parsha, in fact, they derive it from a pasuk in this week's parsha, that it takes 40 years for a person to be Oymed al Dai Teishel Rebbe. It takes 40 years for a person to understand what his Rebbe was talking about. But I don't know whether that's a hard and fast rule, because I think this week I finally, and it's not 40 years, understood what the man was talking about and what he meant. And I want to talk about something this evening. And before I start, I want to make an introduction. There is this misunderstanding that goes on, or this rumor that goes around, that there are two people involved in this yeshiva. There's a guy called Rabbi Lapkin, he's a nice guy. And he is always very encouraging. Then there's a guy called Rappaport. We're not quite sure why on earth he opened up the yeshiva, because he spends most of his time being sarcastic, dissing everybody, and telling them there are a load of dodos and they should be locked up in institutions. And he's a nasty piece of work. And he has no respect for the intellectual capacity and the level of the Talmidim in the yeshiva that supposedly he is running. Now, I'll be perfectly honest with you, I've got no idea how this came about. And I've got no idea why anybody should think in that manner at all. In fact, I'm confused that anybody in this place actually thinks. But leaving that aside for a moment, on the assumption that people are talking in this way, and that there is an element of truth in what is being said, and there certainly is an element of truth that even Rabbi Lopkin sometimes says a very good schmooze, but he always messes it up by being encouraging at the end. Even though that's true. But I want to say that this year I have a slightly different perspective on things, because I do believe that the Olam in general is slightly more intelligent than in the past year. And although I wouldn't go so far as to say that IQs have gone into the plus region, but let's say that they're closer to the zero than they've ever been before. And therefore, on the basis of that, I want to try and present an idea which is actually a difficult concept, and it's a deep concept, and it's based on a very, very deep Kabbalistic concept. But we're going to try and keep it very simple and try and make it understandable. There is a Rambam, and the Rambam is the very last Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos. If you open up a Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, and it's Perek Lamed, and it's Halacha Tes Vov, the last Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam is a very strange Rambam. And the Rambam says the following. There are two mitzvahs in the Torah which each one of these is equal to the entire Torah. HaShabbos, the concept of Shabbos, the Avedas Keichovim, and the concept of idol worship, Kol Achas Mishtehem, either one of these two, Shkula Keneged Shah Kol Mitzvahs of the Torah. In other words, if you took all the Yisurim in the Torah and you weigh them up against Avedah Zarah, very cool. Avedah Zarah is so chomor that it is the equivalent of all the Averis in the Torah. Chilul Shabbos is so chomor that it is equivalent of all the Averis in the Torah. And therefore a person who is an Eved Avedah Zarah or a person who is a Mechalel Shabbos is basically, by doing that, equaling being over al kol ha-teira kula. The HaShabbos, and Shabbos, says the Rambam, hi ha-ois, this is the sign shebein HaKadosh Baruch Hu ubeineinu la'olam. This is the determining sign between Am Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel'olam, lefichach therefore. Kol ha-over al shar ha-mitzvos, if someone is over on an isur, Harehu bichlal rishoy Yisrael. He's a Rasha. He's a Jew who is wicked. Whatever that means. And whatever the parameters are of being a Rasha. Aval ha-mechalel Shabbos b'vahesya. Somebody who is a mechalel Shabbos b'vahesya. Harehu ka'oved avedus keichovim. He gets the status of an idol worshipper. L'chol divreya. In all areas. And that's why, says the Rambam, Yishayahu Anovi was Mishabeach, those who keep Shabbos. Ashrei enish yase zaisu ben odom yachzik bo sheimer Shabbos meichaleloi. And the Rambam continues and says, and therefore, v'chol ha-shemes ha-shabbos kilchoso, anybody who keeps Shabbos properly, u'mechabdo, and he's mechabed the Shabbos, u'me'ango, and he enjoys the Shabbos, kfi koichai, as much as he can, kfa mefurish b'kabolos chorei ba'ilam hazeh. Chazal already tell us that the schar he gets ba'ilam hazeh, yosel ha'schar tzofen olam haba, it's even more than the schar he's going to get olam haba. And this Rambam presents a number of problems. Firstly, what is so important about Shabbos that if an individual is over on the entire Torah, nobody ever suggests that he loses his status of being a Jew and becomes an Eved Avedah Zarah? You can be over al kol ha-teira kula, so you're a Jew as a Rasha. But the Rambam paskens halacha lemaisa that the Jew who is Mechalel Shabbos, he loses the status of being a Jew. He becomes an Akum L'Kol Dovo. So in other words, if somebody asks you, who is the Jew? The Rambam's answering the question, the time old question. Who is the Jew? The answer, Shemesh Shabbos. And if you're Mechalel Shabbos, you're not a Jew. From some type of perspective or from some type of angle. And in fact, we find that Chazal are extreme in terms of their praise for those who are Shema Shabbos. HaShema Shabbos Kilchoso, says the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Yud Ches, somebody who's Shema Shabbos Levida Alocha, Afilu Ovid Avedah Zarah Kederei Shalenesh, even if his entire life he was an Ovid Avedah Zarah. The minute he keeps Shabbos properly, Moichlin Loi, automatically, Mashma, without tshuva even, doesn't need to do anything at all. It doesn't matter what you did in the past. If you are Shema Shabbos Kilchasa, you immediately get Mechila. Immediately you have Kapara. How come? Since when or whenever have we heard of a concept that by doing one mitzvah you can wipe out another avera? One's going to do the other. You get schar for the mitzvah, you'll get einish for the avera. How can the Gemara come along and say, if you Mekayim the mitzvah, the Shmiri Shabbos, it wipes out all your, not one Averi, it wipes out every single Averi that you ever did? How can the Gemara say something like that? The Gemara also says that Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, that the Ribbono Shel Olam said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Matana Teva Yeshli Beveis Genozai, I have in my treasury a very important gift to give you. What is it? Shabbos. Go and tell the Jews about it. So Shabbos gets a special category in the eyes of Chazal. It's a Matana Teva. And what about all the other mitzvahs? They're not Matanas Tevas. Everything that God told us to do, He told us to do it obviously for our benefit. Otherwise He wouldn't have told us to do it. Derech HaTev LaHeitiv. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants to be good to us. One of the greatest Jewish thinkers of the last 100 years, Rav Dessler, in the 5 volumes of Michtav Melio, discusses a certain point many, many times. And he writes an introductory remark before he starts off. And he says, what I'm going to tell you now is something which is based on Kabbalistic works. And it is a very, very difficult and deep idea. But let's try to the best of our ability, says Rav Dessler, to bring it down to everyday language. And even though this is obviously not the depth of what the Mekubalim meant, but at least it gives us an idea of what they are talking about. And he says the following. He says that there's time-old questions that all philosophers ask. And they are, what is the definition of a human being? How do you define the human being? What is he? Number one. And number two, what was the point in God creating a human being? Why were we sent down here? For what purpose? And three, why did God bother creating a world? What was the point of the exercise? And every single school of philosophy has their own opinion, their own thoughts on the matter. Says Rav Dessler, the Jew has to ask himself, why was the Jew created? Why was the world created? And what is the definition or the description of a Jew? What is a Jew? And he says the following. He says the Jew is a schizophrenic synthesis. He's a dual personality of two things which have been molded together. On the one hand, he's a physical being. He's something Gashmi. He's a physical being with physical desires, with material desires, and with material wants, and with material needs. On the other hand, he has an neshama, and the neshama is a spiritual entity that exists within the Jew. Chazal tell us that the neshama of the Jew comes from the highest place. The descriptive language of Chazal is it's underneath the Kisei HaKovod and it's pulled out of there and it's put into a Gashmi body and it's, boom, sent down to this world when the child is born or created. And therefore, the Jew is basically a split personality, a dual personality. On the one hand, he's a personality which is Gashmi, and on the other hand, he's the personality which is Ruchni. And there is a constant conflict between the two personalities as to which one of this schizophrenic individual is going to gain the upper hand. Is it going to be the Dr. Jekyll? Is it going to be the Mr. Hyde? Is it going to be the material side of the Jew, or is it going to be the spiritual side of the Jew? And God did this intentionally. God created a schizophrenic Jew for a reason. Because it's part and parcel of his function in life. That's why we're here. Why is it part and parcel of his function in life? Because God created a universe, and he created this universe in a similar synthesis to the way in which he created the human being. The world, when you look around, the universe, when you look around, is a physical, material entity. It's a concrete entity. However, this concrete entity also has within it spirituality. And if you take the physical material object in the world and you use it for spiritual functions and for spiritual purposes, what you have done is you have revealed within the material physical entity the spirituality of the thing. You can use a table for eating tarfus, rahman al-islam, and you can use a table for learning Gemara. If you use the table for learning Gemara, you took the physical entity of the table and turned it into a spiritual vehicle. If you use it, chas v'sholem, for eating tarfus, you took the table and deepened the physical material function of the table and basically ignored or destroyed or at least damaged the spirituality of the table. The function of the Jew in the world, say the Mekubalim, is one thing and one thing only. It's to do one thing. And that's why we were put here. And our job is to be, in the language of the Mekubalim, Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, and to be Marbe Kvod Shemayim. Our job is to increase godliness in the world. How do we do it? Say the Mekubalim, we do it in two ways. The fact that a Jew is a schizophrenic personality of Gashmius and Ruchnius, every time the Jew has this battle between the two personalities, and the spiritual personality of the Jew wins out, what is the Jew doing? He's turning his personality into a totally spiritual personality as opposed to a schizophrenic material and spiritual personality. And by doing that, what is he doing? He's saying, I, me, am spirituality. I am the neshama which was chotzuv mitachas kisei hakovod. I am a chelek elokai mimal mamish, as the Baal HaTanya says. I am spirituality at its best. And when the Jew does that, when his spiritual side overpowers his material side, and he's in a spiritual mode, then his contact and the usage that he has of the physicality around him becomes a usage towards spiritual ends. And that in itself also is Mekadesh Shem Shemayim and Marbe Kvod Hashem. Therefore, the function of a Jew in all his activity in the entire week is basically one thing and one thing only. Live in this material world. Be part of this material world. Nobody's asking you to lock yourself up in a telephone booth of spirituality. Live in this world. But live in this world in such a way where your spiritual personality overpowers your material personality, whereby your living in this material world will be a living style which will induce that the actions that you do, the everyday normal actions that a person does during the week, will be for spiritual means and for spiritual ends. That is why the Jew is here. And the Ribbono Shel Olam did a tremendous chesed with us. The Ribbono Shel Olam said You need a constant reminder that the ideal, that the objective is a world of spirituality. And I will give you that constant reminder, because I will, every 7 days, give you one day where that one day is a day off. There, that one day is a day which in microcosm actually shows you the way everything will be when all the Jews will be doing what they're meant to be doing, and the world would have reached its tafkid. Ve'echal elikim b'yom ha'shvi. Chazal say on the basis of that pasuk that the finality, the last day of Bria, the last day of creation, was Shabbos. Shabbos was a Bria. It was also a creation. It was a Bria, say Chazal, of Menucha, of withdrawal, of rest, of taking a step back from what? From the Olam HaGashmi. Vayishbois mikol melachto, the pasuk says. God ceased from all his work on the seventh day. As Chazal, the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't create the world with any work or with any effort. The concept work, effort, is not relevant to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So, what do we mean when we say that the Ribbono Shel Olam refrained from working on the seventh day? What work are we talking about? Say Chazal, what it means is that God said to the world, to the Jewish world, because the world is the Jewish world, God said, the seventh day is a Bria Bifnei Atzma, it's a day in which I'm withdrawing the way in which I created the world. I created the world in Olam HaRuchni, covered up by Gashmias. And your job is to reveal the Ruchnias. Shabbos, the Ruchnias is there in front of you. This whole concept, says Rav Dessler, is what the Sifrei Kabbalah talk about. They give it a name. It's called Halos Anitzetzis. It's called bringing up the sparks of spirituality in things. All right, we won't go into that. This is the entire idea that lies behind the fact that there is Surei Melocha Doraisa and Isurei Melocha Drabbanan on Shabbos. Refrain from the actions that you do during the week, because the actions that you do during the week are actions which are a necessity in a world which is a physical material world. Shabbos is not a physical material world. Shabbos is a world of spirituality. And therefore, seeing that Shabbos is a spirit, is a total, complete day of spirituality, one can say about Shabbos, Me'ein Olam Haba Yom Shabbos Menucha. In the same way as Adam Abo, you all understand, he's not an Islamic version of hundreds of virgins, but it's something which is totally spiritual. So too Shabbos, in essence, is something which is totally spiritual. And that's what the Rambam is saying. If a person understands what Shabbos is, then the schar he gets in Olam Hazeh is the schar of Olam Haba, because it's Hainahak, it's both Ruchnias. And that's why Shabbos is Shkula Keneged Kol Ham Teira Kula. And that's why if a person is over on Shabbos, he loses his status of a Jew. Because the whole uniqueness of the Jew is how much is he being occupied in his tafkid. And the tafkid of the Jew is to enable that everything should reach a degree of total spirituality. And that's what Shabbos is all about, refraining from melacha and being in a world which is without any melacha. And if you do melacha on Shabbos, whether it's deraisa, whether it's drabonim, what you're saying is, I have no part in this function, in this tafkid at all. I'm not part of that. If you're not part of that, then you're not part of anything. You're not Jewish. If you did kol aveiros of a Torah, but in one Shabbos you get up and you keep Shabbos, the Rabbonon, the Raisa, the Chol Dikdukeho, what are you saying? I'm a Jew. When a non-Jew gets up and says, am I a Jew? And he's Magaya. What's the din? Gershon is Gaya. Kekotin Shanoila Domi. You're a new person. What went on beforehand is irrelevant because you're not the same person. If a Jew is Shemesh Shabbos, he's Meichel Nekalavay Nesop because he's not the same guy. The guy who did the Averis was a different guy. He's a Gershon is Gaya from a spiritual point of view. Says the Chafetz Chaim, a Meiridik Amoshel. And the Chafetz Chaim says the following. When a guy opens up a store, one of the first things that he does is he puts up a huge sign outside his store. What's the sign that he puts up outside his store? Joe's Hardware. Why Joe's Hardware? Because he's a hardware store. So why is he putting up the sign? To tell everybody what he is. The guy opens up a hardware store and he makes a million. So he decides he's going off for a trip to the Bahamas with his wife. So what does he do? He closes the store and he puts up a sign, a small sign in the window. Closed for vacation. Reopening in 3 weeks' time. Says the Chafetz Chaim. What happens if the guy decides that the location is no good and he's got a much better location and he's closing down the store? What does he do? Says the Chafetz Chaim, the first thing he does is he takes down the sign. He takes down the sign and he takes the sign to the new location and puts the sign up in the new location. Says the Chafetz Chaim, if you walk past the store and the sign is up there, then either the store is open or the store owner's gone on vacation. If you walk past the store one day and the sign's gone, he's closed down. Says the Chafetz Chaim, what does the Pasuk say in connection with Shabbos? Ois hi. It's a sign, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, between me and between you. Says the Chafetz Chaim, Shabbos is the sign. Kol zman you're being Shema Shabbos, kol zman the sign is up, either the store is functioning, either you take a Shema Teriyah Mitzvahs, or perhaps you went on vacation, says the Chafetz Chaim. From all the other mitzvahs in the Torah, you went on vacation. It's very possible that you went on vacation. But kol zman the sign is up, kol zman the Shmiras Shabbos, the store is still open. The minute you take the sign down, says the Chafetz Chaim, the store is closed. It's over. The Fiani is Daiti, that's what the Rebbe meant. Kol zman the Shmiras Shabbos is what to talk about. Kol zman a guy is Shema Shabbos, the sign is still up. If the guy is not Shema Shabbos, then he took the sign down. If he took the sign down, there's nothing to talk about. Rabbi Isai. We are 10 days before Rosh Hashanah. Now, you can ignore me, you can shrug your shoulders, but you have to be really stupid to do that. Because I think that everybody sitting in this room who just has to think about himself and his friends and his what happened over the last year has to be really retarded not to realize that there is a concept of a Yom HaDin. There is a concept of a day of judgment. It comes around and it determines. It determines what happens when you get in your bike, and it determines what happens when you do other things. It determines all sorts of things. Everything is written in Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah determines what's going to happen to you. And all of us have a problem. Because Ein Tzadik Ba'aretz Asher Lo Yechta. There doesn't exist amongst us anybody who's been 100% Beseder. There is no such thing. And all of us need zchuyos. And along come Chazal, and Chazal tell us, you have a very easy way out. You don't even have to go through the whole difficult process of tshuva. All you have to do is one thing. Keep Shabbos the way it's meant to be kept. Don't be over any Yisrael D'Raisa. Don't be over any Yisrael D'Rabbanan. And turn your Shabbos into a ruchniyistika experience. And instead of turning Shabbos into a drunken brawl, turn it into something spiritual. And then when you come to the Yom HaDin, you can turn around to the court and say, I have the best lawyer in the world. I'm fine. But in order to do that, you have to know what you're allowed to do on Shabbos and what you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. And you don't, because you are ignorant. You have no idea what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do. And one of the main games that I have, as I sit on the odd occasion when I have to eat here, is to count up the number of Yisrael D'Raisa and the number of Yisrael D'Rabbanan that everybody's being over on every 3 seconds. You guys got no idea how to take something off a platter, how to put it back on a platter, if you're allowed to put it back on a platter, how to this, how to do that, no idea. And then when it comes to Yom HaDin, then they're going to say to you, whoa, one, two, three, this kind of Shabbos, you're going to say to you, what do you want from me? It's not my fault, nobody ever told me. You're sitting in a place which has one of the best Balei Hasbara of Hilchos Shabbos that exists in the world. And a man of infinite patience. And he's even a nice guy. And he's really supportive. He doesn't know what negative means. And he's teaching Hilchos Shabbos every week. And any guy who's not there from the beginning of the shiur to the end of the shiur is basically turning around to the Ribbono Shel Olam 10 days before Rosh Hashanah and saying, I am not Jewish. Then you know what? Find a monastery.